बैडमिंटन में बहुत सही प्रैक्टिस करो, सचिन पछाना वो तो प्रैक्टिस हो सकती पछाना वन अटेन सफस्ते और सर अरी ने का सफस्ते ब्रह्मांडे इन पा एवरेज पॉइंट ऑफ स्ट्राइस द हीप ऑफ अनहोलसम रूट्स ऑफ क्रिटिसिज्म नेमली ग्रीड हेट्रेड एंड डिलूशन विच आर बीइंग विद अस ऑल अलोंग आवर लाइफ टाइम. And the main thing among them is where are Vijigesha and Kedikata, Sakai Vedi and Vijigesha. That is the personality of you and Kedikata. These two main things are said to be uprooted. So in this way, these three main roots, the heap of unwholesome roots, which lead to the states of loss, apayagamaniya, are said to be uprooted, which have been with us all along our lifetimes. Because we have not practiced Saripatthana, or even if we have practiced Saripatthana, we are not cultivated inside knowledge, or even if we have cultivated inside knowledge, we have not come to the satisfactory stage of fulfillment of the inside knowledge. Therefore, we are not able to eradicate these kirisas. Now, these kirisas are said to be uprooted, they are cut off. One, to realize the first supermantinipa, namely Sarapadinaga, the path of stream entry or stream endeavor. And such is the function of the first supermantinipa, Sarapadinaga. And is that all? Not so. Besides these two, there are other things which are uprooted, as has been given in the commentaries of the path of purification, which we explain one by one. And among them, it is said that hundreds of things were also uprooted, and hundreds of things that came as benefits. One comes to possess hundreds of benefits besides these two things, namely Sakadeti and Vijigesha. So it is said like this, and among them text is given one thing, namely unshakable force coming into possession of unshakable faith in the three gems, Supragama Sangha. And at this kind of faith, or believing in the faith, and the things which are worthy of faith, known as Adiya Bhutu, becomes unshakable. In that in such a way that however much somebody else will come and try to disrupt your faith and confidence, your faith and confidence will not be disrupted, it will become unshakable. And such is the kind of, even if you are persuaded with wealth, material wealth, or don't believe in it, don't believe in a few gems, I'll give you so many millions of dollars, even then you will not be persuaded, or you will not be threatened. Say, somebody will say, I'll kill you, you know, if you believe. Even then you will not be threatened, you will not disrupt your faith even with threat. You will even best risk your life in continuing to possess this kind of faith and confidence. And even if somebody else who is eloquent in his speech would come and talk to you out of this, you will not be talked out of this. Such are the assurances given by this Sudhamadhinpa. Because your faith and belief become very unshakable, very steadfast. The reason is that you have cultivated insight knowledge on the basics, the beginning with the realities of mind and body and their conditionality. And then progressing along the path to the universal interlocking characteristics of mind and body, which are conditioned. So you come to acceptance with faith. Your faith is said to have progressed. As much as you cultivate knowledge, university of faith progresses. Until when it comes to the insight knowledge, stage of insight knowledge, then the Sankarupa Kanyana, knowledge of economy towards core formations, then your faith becomes very bright, clear, unshakable, and it goes rises by leaps and bounds until your both your object, the noting object, and the noting mind are such a castaway, they disappear, like being cast away from you, so that you are transformed from pavada to non-pavada, from the flow of mind-body process to the discontinuation of or non-process of mind and body. You come to this stage. Then you would come, you would say to yourself, make a comment that it is correct. It is correct that one is you come to the cessation of mind and body, and your faith and confidence become very unshakable. You come to acceptance and transformation and definite decision. From thence, your faith and confidence become very steadfast and unshakable. Then you have this hundred of benefits which arise with the realization of the first path consciousness. All these things, this kind of unshakable faith and other benefits as given in the hundreds of benefits as given in the commentaries, have the root cause in the realization of the first supermundane path. And when you come to this stage, you come to a definite decision. Your knowledge becomes very definite. So that's why from then we are going to talk on this Mahapachakana Sutta as given by the late Venerable Mahasishara, all the great Mahapachakana Sutta, rendered as great reviewing. And from today we shall go on to talk about this. Last year, at the end of the 2 month retreat, which I declared, 2 month retreat, when we talk about six memorable qualities, Saranya Dhammas, that create love and respect, and conduce to helpfulness, to non-dispute, and means towards the love and respect among the among people, among friends, so that when two people are living together, they will be living with one mind, so they are in two bodies, so that there will be no dispute, and they will be able to maintain bodily acts of loving kindness, verbal acts of loving kindness, mental acts of loving kindness, both in public and private, and share his or her belongings to his companions in the holy life. And after that, Ajara also declared that this year he will talk about reviewing Mahapachakana. This great reviewing is this discourse is different from ordinary reflection or reviewing on the aftermath of the realization of the first from mundane path. It is separate, distinct kind of reviewing. Hence, it is labeled as Mahapachakana, that is, kind of reflection or reviewing on a high level stage. We shall continue, we shall talk about this from today. As for Putrajanas, that is ordinary beings who have not undertaken the practice of the Vipassana, thus have not purify his or her mind, and has not gained any kind of insight, leaving the six sense doors open to all objects which come in, not being able to be mindful of these objects, practice of the deep samadhi, they are overwhelmed by sensual pleasures, overwhelmed by obsessive defilements, that means impurities which can arise in their mind, and they are not able to purify their mind in this way, because they are not seeing the rising and falling away of the realities of mind and body. Because they have not undertaken the practice of meditation, dipsana, nor have cultivated mindfulness, they are not able to prevent what is known as nibbana, hindrances to progress. They have not had experience in preventing these hindrances to progress. These hindrances to progress, called nibbana, are they also undermining elements like kilesa? They fall on you like a waterfall with rapid speed. And whoever is subject to such undermining elements will be prone to what is known as kamichanda, sense desires, the longing for good visible objects, sweet sound, sweet taste, and so on. And also when one encounters undesirable objects, or objects which might arouse their anger or ill will, they will be angry, they will upset, such is known as vyabhada, nivaranas, hindrances of ill will or anger. And since one is not able to practice this high level discipline in the way of mindfulness, the mind is not energetic. It is what is known as lackluster, or like a desiccu, sluggishness. And also, it's known as kinamita nivarna. And then, because one is not able to activate mindfulness on objects of arising, instead the mind is becoming restless, distracted, so one is overcome by this kind of hindrance known as restlessness and remorse. One becomes remorseful, one becomes remorse about good things undone or bad things done. And then there will be skeptical doubt about one's own practice, one's own Dhamma, skeptical doubt about the Dhamma, skeptical doubt about whether this kind of practice will lead to this kind of inside knowledge. So one cannot come to a decision, such the vijikacha, skeptical doubt, another kind of hindrance. So all these things are called hindrances. They are called hindrances because they prevent the cultivation of jhana, absorption, megapalapa, and its fruit. And they are not, these cannot arise when these nibbanas are rising anew. So when they are occurring, they are undermining you, they will make you impure, and they are known as chitiso, the kilesas. And they are undermining elements, they can weaken your inside knowledge if you have cultivated any inside knowledge. Or they may even prevent you from cultivating any knowledge at all. Or if you have cultivated some inside knowledge, it will become very dim and it will be very much undermined and weakened. Hence, they are known as nirvana hindrances. They are undesirable, they are tormenting, they are mental contaminants. And as for ordinary beings, purujanas, and they are sunk in such, they are overwhelmed by these hindrances to progress. And take up the practice of satipatthana, the first thing they encounter, the first things they encounter are mostly these hindrances to progress, known as nivaranas. சாரி சரசாங்கா, ஜூலை 8th September 1995. Yoshi is called Ariya, nobleman. Yoshi goes to the forest or goes under a tree or approach a secluded place, either a monastery, or a kuti or a building, where there's no palibora, no impediments. Yoshi would stay there in seclusion and be mindful of mind and body. He or she would reflect on the views in this way. So this is whether there is an excessive defilement in him or her, that he or she will not see things in a clear manner. So this is just investigation or consideration to know one's own condition or to know the truth of oneself, whether one still has these so-called pariyotana kilesas, obsessive defilements, that is, defilements which can arise in one's mind. And such kind of defilements are still being obsessed in one, and they are not yet being transgressed or translated into transgressive type of defilements. That means they have come to the violent stage of transgression by body or speech, but they're still obsessed, being obsessed in the mind, such as wishing to enjoy sensual pleasures, like kamachanda, nirvana, or when it comes to undesirable objects, or when you encounter anything which would arouse any anger or ill will, you have overcome by this obsessive defilement of ill will. So this can happen in the beginning, those who undertake the practice, whether one is practicing the in and out breath, pranasati, or as given by the late Master Shadow, pay attention to abdomen and note the rising, falling, sitting, stretching, and so on. At that time, death can arise in the yogi, desire about desired objects, elation about desired object, or dejection, or disappointment, or ill will about undesirable object. And such kind of obsession, such kind of thoughts are known as pariyotana kilesa, obsessive defilements, which arise in one's mind. And it is a stream of consciousness which flow like a current. That is a process of mind and body. In this, one can be overwhelmed by these undermining unwholesome states, known as akusalas, and these will be discussed as the sarasanga, the stream enterer considers or reviews his or her situation. If one is still able, one still has spiritual kilesas, then such things like likes and dislikes are bound to appear. However, as for the sarabhana, although they may arise, unavoidably, situation arises, then sarabhana can note and abandon or overcome these obsessive defilements. These are the kind of defilements which can cloud your mind so as not to know the nature of mind and body. This regarding this pariyotana kilesa, obsessive defilement, the Buddha has given this. He addressed the bhikkhus, that is, bhikkhu could be monks or lay people, lady, that one knows in the course of one's life, when one is reviewing and considering in this way, one knows that when one has these sensual desires coming into one's mind, one knows that one is all overwhelmed or attacked by these pariyotana kilesas, obsessive defilements. So while one is noting or practicing mindfulness, noting, writing, following, sitting, touching, and so on. These obsessive defilements arise in the periods. These obsessive defilements like sensual desires or desires of sensual pleasures. They would arise and undermine you. When they arise, they occupy your mind so that you cannot know the true nature of objects, like the arising and passing away of the objects. So, because you are overwhelmed, or because your mind is occupied by these sensual pleasures, thoughts of sensual pleasures. Mountain mind, the practice of mindfulness, involves the saying, guarding the mind, or the mind should be guarded with vigilant mindfulness of heavy arising, so that one will be able to prevent this current or waterfall or the defilements which fall down like a speed of a waterfall. If one is not able to prevent or guard one's mind in this way with practice of mindfulness, then there will be likes and dislikes for desirable, undesirable objects, elation, rejection, about pleasant, unpleasant objects. And that's why they are called nibbanas, hindrances to progress. They will hinder the progress, they will endure the mind, they will undermine the knowledge, they will weaken the knowledge, sustain the mind, and also cause the mind to become restless, so that one will not be able to see the true nature of mind and body. And this is quite natural, because if one is, if there is something to be attached to, then one must be able to guard one's mind with in the spirit of the deeper channel. And if at all these desires or ill will rise in one's mind, one must be able to know them off so as to overcome them. As for ordinary people, or those people who are not practicing Satipatthana, they do not know how to practice cultivate mindfulness. So as for them, these hindrances to progress, beginning with sense desires, will flow like waterfall without any hindrance, without any means of prevention. They will go on falling upon such people so that their mind will be impure and they will not be able to see the true nature of mind and body objects. And this is continues in this way. Monks, if any yogi is overwhelmed by ill will, then one is said to be overwhelmed by the obsessive department of Parikana Kinsa. One is said to be tormented or invaded by the obsessive department. While one is noting the obvious object, such as rising and falling of the garment, one encounters some undesirable object or pain or experience, then one becomes upset and one becomes angry, overwhelmed by ill will. That is a situation where the yogi is tormented or persecuted or undermined by this particular kilesa, in this case ill will, obsessive defilements. So one has got to know and overcome it. First, prevent it from arising, and if at all it arises, it has to be neutralized. This is the two means of doing it. One is prevention, that is, know the objects, have a rising object, in order to prevent these from arising, and if at all they arise, they must be treated. This is treatment by the medicine. And note them off.
If
one is not able to take measures, prevention and treatment, with practice of Satipatthana, then one will not be able to understand the true nature of objects, beginning with the phenomenon of mind and body, and the cultivation of universal characteristics. So too with another Piyotanakilesa, as it's defined, known as Chinamesa, thought and trouble, which can weaken your mind, either you become sluggish in the practice of high-level discipline, where you're supposed to be energetic, apply hardened energy, not to be slack in the practice of Dipatama. So in this case, you are said to be undermined or weakened or overwhelmed by this kind of Piyotanakilesa, obsessive defilement. And another obsessive defilement, Piyotanakilesa, is restlessness and remorse. They also undermine your practice. And when these things arise, this sudden problem and restlessness and worry, then you must take measures, preventive measures and treatment measures, know them and overcome them. If you are not able to do that, then these Piyotanakilesa obsessive defilements are bound to hinder your practice of high level discipline on the way of mindfulness, so that your knowledge will be undermined, stained and weakened. And another one is how the Buddha said, monks, if you become doubtful, this vigilation about things, then you are said to be overwhelmed by this obsessive development of the Piyotanakilesa vigilation, said to be doubt. Then you know that you are being overwhelmed by this, you are attacked by this hindrance to progress. And doubt about, what are the doubts? Doubt about practice of Vipassana, whether they will be able to lead to the cultivation of inside knowledge. So in this way, one will become doubtful for one's practice. Especially to those who are prone to fantasies, imaginations, and they will reason out, and such kind of reasoning can arise in the guise of an intellectual wisdom, which is very dangerous. This vigilation is very dangerous. And when it arises, it must be noted and abandoned. Otherwise, one will not be able to see or understand the true nature of objects. So such things, as for vigilation, skeptical doubt, this arises only in the ordinary being, Buddhismas. As for the Sotapanna, he or she has abandoned or overcome this skeptical doubt as one of the two main defilements abandoned or overcome or eradicated by the possible mundane path. So he or she need not abandon this vigilation, because it will not arise in him or her. However, just to be complete in this five kinds of even nothing in the progress, it has been included as one of the hindrances. As for those who have not realized the first mundane path, then they are found to be doubtful as to the practice, which is known as Vichikesha. And the Buddha even said that if a person becomes doubtful, I cannot help such a person. So that help, then Dhamma also will not help you. You will not be able to realize the benefits of the Dhamma as far as this kind of hindrance. It is dangerous hindrance. This reasoning, reflection, is necessary in some cases, like when one is undertaking doing some task, then one has got to reason out whether such a task is beneficial or not, or such a task is correct or not, whether it is correct or not, good or bad, or whether it is beneficial or not, or whether it is suitable or not. So such kind of reflection is necessary. However, when it comes to the things which are beyond your intellect, then you may, while reasoning out, this vichikicca, skeptical doubt, can arise in the guise of wisdom or intellect. You are thinking yourself that you are intellectual. I must reason out. So in this way, the reason, they arise in the guise of wisdom. So you are deceived, you are said to be cheated or deceived. And especially for the practitioners in the realm of Satipatthana, this is a great hindrance. So as not to deceive or cheat yourself, one should be able to practice with faith and confidence. That's all for today.